Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but forfeit their life? Oh, what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this passage, as it says right at the very beginning, Jesus is starting to turn towards Jerusalem. He has spent the time with his disciples preaching and teaching and healing and doing a wide variety of ministries. But now is the time when Jesus is finally telling his disciples what the end game will be. And that is going to Jerusalem, and there will be death and there will be suffering. But then there will also be resurrection. Now, just before this passage, dear Peter has made this great declaration of faith in his understanding that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, the Messiah. And Jesus blesses him and celebrates with him this wonderful statement of faith that finally one of the disciples has understood who and what Jesus is. And then we have this moment when dear Peter once again goes from hero to zero in the blink of an eye. Jesus tells his disciples what is to come. He is being open with them and laying everything out for them to understand what is going to be coming next. And Peter is having none of it. Peter takes Jesus aside and says to him, "This is not the way it's going to be. We're not going to do it this way. This is not the way to influence people, make friends, all of that sort of thing. You're scaring the other disciples. We don't want to hear about suffering and death. This is not God's will. It's just not God's will. There has to be another way." And Jesus, instead of praising him, Peter, for his insight and calling him a blessed disciple, he calls him Satan. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Jesus, as we know, in the beginning of his ministry, faced Satan in the desert. In the Old Testament, we understand the understanding of Satan as one of the tempter, and that is what we hear in the Gospels, of the spiritual being who is the great tempter, who tries to come and bring people off of the straight and narrow path to compromise their righteousness and follow the tempter as opposed to following God. And this is the role that Peter is playing in these moments. Jesus must remain focused because he knows what is going to happen. He has already stood strong in the desert before he took on this mantle of ministry, and he was not going to compromise who he was in these moments. But Peter was offering up a terrible temptation to Jesus. "Look, find another way," says Peter. "This can't be. I'll help you do it. We'll get through this." But Jesus rebukes that temptation and acknowledges that this is the only way that it can be. He is not going to vacillate from God's will. He is not going to forsake his calling. Peter can offer him no way out because there is no way out. The worldly ideas that Peter and the other disciples had of what the Messiah should be and the political ramifications and the spiritual ramifications and all of those glorious things that they wedded together to put onto the shoulders of Messiah needed to be set aside because Jesus was approaching this in a very different way. His commitment was complete, and he had given himself completely and totally over to God's will. Peter and the other disciples, however, needed to come to that understanding themselves. And until they did, they were going to struggle with the path Jesus had to walk. Matthew has told us all along that Jesus is the Christ, and that following Jesus is not just a pastime, it's an identity. Following Jesus, being a follower of Christ, is who we are and what we are. Following Christ is our way of life. There is nothing about the gospel that permeates anything less than our whole lives. At times, following Jesus takes courage and stamina, as well as renewal. That's what Jesus was trying to let his disciples know in these moments. After this encounter and this exchange with Peter, he says, look, if you want to follow me, you're going to be taking up your own cross each day and following me to bear that burden. This has always been a somewhat troubling passage for me. I like to think of the Jesus whenever he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says that. I like that. I like having, you know, following Jesus is much better than not, kind of a feel. And then a little while later, he comes and says, you've got to bear the burden of your own cross. Not quite as easy to hear. But Matthew's gospel is open and honest with us about the cost of commitment to Jesus. The early church that heard this gospel of Matthew in the very beginning were already experiencing what it meant to know the difficulties and the persecutions of very literally bearing their own crosses. They were going through it. Jesus was being honest with his disciples and laying it out for them to say, this is not, following me is not easy because the world does not accept always, easily, the message that we bring or the way of life that we espouse. Carrying a cross was not a very beautiful image. That's what the Romans made the condemned criminals do on their way to their execution site. They would put the crossbar, as you remember very vividly from the accounts of, you know, Jesus and his crucifixion, they would put the crossbar of the cross on them and you'd have to carry it to where they were going to kill you. It was a terrible burden. You had probably already been beaten and your strength was zapped, and then you're walking through the town and the down the road and being ridiculed and absolutely humiliated and knowing you're walking to your death. It not only struck fear in the crowds, but it would also absolutely humiliate those who were carrying their crosses. It was the ultimate in cruelty. But we know that Jesus had been walking this path already. Jesus had already been carrying his cross, and he would continue to carry that cross to the end. Jesus carried the cross of obedience to God. Jesus carried the cross of humility. Jesus carried the cross of being fully human. He carried the cross of teacher and guide for our sakes. Jesus had already carried the cross of nonviolence. He had already turned the other cheek multiple times. Jesus had carried the cross of rebuking and standing up to the religious and cultural elite in his own world in order to associate with the marginalized people who needed to hear the good news. Jesus had already faced ridicule. He lived as a penniless man and lived off the charity of others. The Son of Man didn't even have a place to lay his own head. He lived off of the charity and grace of others. He served people. He bore the cross of servanthood. Even when those around him wanted to elevate him up to a higher standard, he took that standard away and said to follow me, you wash each other's feet. You serve, and then you serve again. Jesus had already borne the cross and was bearing the cross of spiritual commitment, even when it put him at odds with worldly power and wealth. This was the cross that Christ was asking his disciples to bear. It's the cross that he was asking us to bear. And so as he calls us to follow him, he says, you've got to do the same. You've got to take up that cross each day. You're going to have to face some of the same issues that I have faced, and you've got to know it's not going to be easy. Your path is going to be difficult, it's going to be challenging and dangerous, it's going to be humiliating and at times unpredictable. The unpredictability comes because you will be focused on spiritual things while everyone else around you is focused on worldly things. And sometimes those two do not match up. Often those two did not match up. Our path is going to be the same as Christ's at times, and it will make no sense for those of us who aren't ready to walk that path. We will go against cultural norms, we will follow Christ and behave as he did in the Gospels, and that it sends us swimming up a cultural stream. It makes no sense to love our enemies. It just makes no sense. They can't be our enemies if we love them. But Jesus says, love your enemies. And we heard in Romans, pray for those who persecute you. We are taught that the goal in life is to establish enough power, self-power, that we can take care of ourselves and our families, that we can live a good life, that no one will have power over us, but we will have power over ourselves. Jesus said that's not the goal. The goal is to pray for your enemies, give up at times your own power, work for reconciliation and peace even when you have to apologize for something that may not have been your fault. This is what Christ calls us to do. And it makes me wonder what would truly happen if the church took up that cross and walked that path. Following Jesus challenges religious establishment. Jesus broke the rules of the religious institution and orthodoxy. He was breaking rules all of the time, which makes it very difficult for those of us who really like the rules. Jesus ate on the Sabbath. Jesus ate with unclean people. He ate with Gentiles. He ran around with people who were possessed. He was not keeping the rules as he should have. But Jesus did not live to take his special place in the temple as a great and powerful teacher. Jesus came to tear down the temple and to rebuild it in 3 days with resurrection. Following Jesus means that we have to challenge religious institutions, even as I stand here robed in the uniform of one. But there are times whenever we have to remember that the rules of grace, the gift of grace, can at times and does at times and should at times make us see the world beyond the rules and include the people it leaves out. Following Jesus with our crosses mean we follow him outside the institution where real life happens, where hearts are broken as well as full of joy, where lives are lived, and our great and lofty theologies are replaced by loving our neighbor and giving ourselves to others. It can mean, following Jesus can mean standing up to the hypocrisy of our own beloved religious institutions and to work together for peace and harmony among the body of Christ. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Whenever you have three Presbyterians gathered in one place, you're going to have five opinions. It's the way it goes. And there, I see the nods, yes. But there are times whenever we have to put that sort of, those sorts of differences aside and remember what binds us together, which is Jesus the Christ. There are so many great and wonderful saints who have gone before us. And we can look at them and we can look at the disciples and we can say to ourselves as we hear Jesus say these words to us, oh my goodness, following Jesus every day, taking up a cross is something I don't know if I have the strength to do. This is a burden I don't know if I can bear. There doesn't seem to be a lot of grace in this passage, but friends, it is there in an overwhelming amount. Whenever Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me, he is speaking to the renewal of our spirits every day. The grace to say that this day you start over. This day there is renewal for your spirit and for your soul, and you follow me. You are not alone. I am still there helping you to carry this burden. The yoke is still the same. The burden is still the same. Following me is still the same. That you will be following me in grace and forgiveness and mercy and sharing that as you go. That the burden of following Christ, even whenever it puts us at odds with one another or with our cultural establishment, we feel in our spirits the tug of the cross and the tug of Easter morning that says we are an Easter people and we have a God who helps us bear the burdens of the world. For the sake of Jesus Christ, to bring the kingdom wherever we go. So as we hear these words, take up your cross daily, I hope they're not a discouragement to us, but an encouragement. A way for us to understand how to live our lives. That truly following Jesus, we live a life that brings joy and hope, not only to those who are directly encountering us, but that we work for that for the whole world. Following Jesus every day, being his disciples every day, being renewed every day. That is the call of Christ to us this morning. And that is the gift of grace that Jesus gives to his disciples, even now. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful once again for your word that brings to us wisdom and hope. Help us to bear our cross each day, to follow you, to be renewed in your spirit, and to share your love as we go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.